Morning, everybody. It's great to see you here today. Thanks for coming out. Probably everybody knows this, but a lot of stuff happens in the back of a school bus. A lot of different things we won't go into. But on one occasion, a kid from my neighborhood, his name was Keith, he brought a couple peppers in a Glad baggie on the bus. And he said, "Hey, guys, I got some peppers. Does anybody want to try one?" And I can't remember all the details, but I think somebody said something like, "I think they're spicy." And Keith said, "Oh, no, they're not spicy. No, they're not spicy. They're fresh from the garden." Which, like, that has anything to do with how spicy they are. Should have known that. Well, you know, you got to understand that to, like, eat peppers in front of other guys, it's a manly thing. It's a tough guy thing, right? And so me and another kid said, "Yeah, I'll try a pepper." And so Keith gave me one of the peppers. I bit into it. Didn't seem too bad at first. And then all of a sudden it started to get a little warmer. And the next thing you know, my mouth was on fire. And it was a very long ride to school. We got punked. We got taken by Keith. Not Keith Young. This other Keith. We got taken advantage of. We got fooled. We got bamboozled. We got beguiled. And I know I'm not the only one that this has ever happened to. Maybe you clicked on that link that said free iPad. You know what I'm talking about? And you got a virus on your computer. Or maybe you heard somebody was telling you about a great opportunity, a great investment. You just need to put a little money into it. And you're going to make a lot of money. And then in a month that went belly up and you lost all your money. Anybody ever have something like that happen? Or maybe you saw, "Oh, I need a car. Oh, here's a great deal on a car." So you went and you're going to buy it. You decide to buy it. And 100 miles later, guess what? Transmission clunks out. It's like, "Oh, I got taken. I got bamboozled." Has that ever happened to you before? You know, here's the thing is that sometimes when we get taken, it's not that bad, you know, like hot pepper juice in your mouth. A half hour later, it starts to go away, and, you know, it's not long lasting. But other times when we get taken, it can really wreck us. It can wreck our finances. It can maybe even hurt us personally, okay? And so, you know, we would say, you know, to someone, like, watch out. Like, if you've got kids or you kind of have a motherly thing take over you when you're talking to people from work, like, watch out who you give your personal information to, because why? Your identity could get stolen, right? Watch out, you got to be aware. Or, you know, we might be like, if you see a really good deal on Craigslist, you know, like, wow, this car is half the price it would normally be. You know, buyer beware, okay? It might be defective, it might even be stolen, you know. Today, though, we're going to look at something that you might not think about very often, but something that God says about being taken. We're going to look at something that the Lord says in the Bible, that we must watch out for what we believe. We must watch out for what we put our hope in, because it can impact our faith. It can impact our family. That's what's at stake, our own personal faith. And even our family, on what we believe in, on what we value. We're in a series, some of you know, you've been coming all along, we're studying Colossians. It's one of the books in the New Testament, just a little book, it only got four chapters. It's one of the Pauline epistles. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the ancient church in Colossae, and God preserved it, and we believe God actually, he was speaking through it. And so today, you know, it's scripture to us. So we study it. And, you know, we've been, the whole series, it's called All In. Like, don't be partway in. Don't be half in and half out. Like, one foot in the world and one foot in Christianity. One foot with God. One foot with sin, or one foot, you know. Don't be separated. Don't be divided. Be all in. But today we're going to talk about don't be all in when something's all out. Don't be all in on some teaching or some philosophy that's just not right. You know, don't be all in on something like that. So that's what we're going to look at today here. And so I'm going to invite you to stand up. It's a short passage, so please stand up. It's Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Here's our main verse today that we'll be looking at and we'll be dissecting. It says here, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depend on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ." This is God's word. You can be seated. So today we're going to look at two instructions. The Bible gives us instructions, and so there's two instructions today. One comes directly from that verse. It's look out. It's look out. It's like if you go in somebody's backyard when there's not a foot of snow on the ground. You know, you're in somebody's backyard and they're like, look out, there might be dog poo back there. Okay, you don't want to get dog poo on your shoes. I mean, it happened to me a couple times and I did not like it. Okay, so look out, look out. You know, and then the other one comes from Colossians chapter 2 here, and it's look for. We need to look for something. So number one, look out. Watch out. And it's for this. Number one, for hollow and deceptive philosophy that may take you captive. Okay? So this idea of taking captive, it's a hostile idea. It's not anything that's nice. It's very hostile. It means to carry someone off as a prisoner. We studied the book of Daniel last year. Some of you might remember. And what happened, that kind of is the context for that book in the Old Testament, is King Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon surrounded Jerusalem. And when the walls broke down, Nebuchadnezzar's army broke through, put many people to the sword, and then actually carried off some of the best people, the young talent, and carried them off to Babylon. And that's the idea that we have here. Okay, Brendan and I had a conversation with Andrea Skytema. Some of you know her. Her and Mike, they just recently moved to Guatemala to work with Orphan Helpers. It's an organization that Genesis Church supports. And so they recently moved to be a part of that ministry, Andrea taking a formal role. And we were having, Brendan and I had this conversation about a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago or so, a month ago, with Andrea about how it's going and all of this. And one of the things that Andrea said is that she said that we are in a different place than the United States, so we have to be more aware of what's going on. And she said one thing, and this is, I mentioned this as an illustration, and I mentioned it also as a prayer request for her, that there are many people driving around in motor scooters, and they will drive up and grab a kid, kidnap them, and take them away. And so if you know Dylan and Arlo, those are the children of Andrea, please pray for their family. But the point is that she has to be way more vigilant and more aware of what is going on. So these philosophies, these teachings, and three descriptions are in that little verse I gave you. Hollow, deceptive, and apart from Christ. Hollow, what does that mean? Hollow is like there's an outer shell, but there's nothing in the middle. There's no structure to it. It's a teaching that it doesn't have any substance to it. It's hollow. It's like if you know, there's an oak tree cut down and you're needing to split it up. Anybody ever split oak before? You know, it depends. Sometimes, sometimes it can be challenging. You know, so you're taking a bunch of hit. You know, you've got a splitting mill. You don't have one of those machines. You know, you're the machinery. You know, and you're trying to chop it up, and it takes a few hits, and you finally get through it. And then you find a piece of the tree that's kind of a little bit more deformed, and it's hollowed out. Actually, it didn't grow right, and so you take your splitting mill and one hit. It's like, yeah. I'm a stud, you know. It's like a hot knife through butter, and it's because there's nothing there. There's no substance to it. It's the kind of teaching that we got to watch out for. Deceptive teaching. It gives an appearance that is different from the true one. It's what people do that make counterfeit bills. You know, they make fake money. They want to make it look as close as they can to a Benny Franklin, a $100 bill. And then they want to be able to go out and pass it. And so they don't want people to realize. And so the Apostle Paul saying, watch out for hollow, watch out for deceptive teaching that isn't really what it is. It's a surfacey thing. And the last part here is, not according to Christ. Teaching that is not in line with what Scripture tells us about who Christ is. It may add on. It may make additions. It may make subtractions from who Jesus is. So Paul's like, look out. Look out for the dog poo, okay? Don't get taken. Don't let your family get kidnapped by error. Don't fall for something that in other places is called heresy. Maybe you've heard that word before. Heresy. I got a definition for you. Heresy is a choice to deviate from biblical teaching in favor of one's own insights. It's a choice that somebody makes to go a different route, to take a different spin on something, away from the exegetical biblical teaching of the Bible. So a heretic, someone that teaches false teaching, is someone that compromises what the Bible teaches. And here's the impact. It has an impact of what we may believe about God, the Lord, about what the Lord has done. It undermines the gospel, the integrity of the gospel. So in Colossae, this ancient church that Paul wrote to, this was happening. There was teaching that was false, and it was coming from two sources. It was coming from, like verse 8 that we just read, coming from human tradition, and then coming from second thing, is elemental spiritual forces of this world. So let me read just two verses later on in chapter 2 that will give you some more information. Verses 16 and 18 says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to religious festivals, a new moon celebration or a Sabbath day. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great details about what they've seen. They're puffed up with their idle notions of their unspiritual mind. Okay, so let me give some different words for human tradition. Let me call it legalism. Okay? Let me call it legalism. Because that's what you see here. And then the other one is secret spiritual teaching. We'll come to that in just a second. But firstly, legalism. Legalism comes from any set of rules. Well, what were the set of rules back then? Well, Judaism. The Old Testament, the law. We talked about this last week. The law is a list of rules. And so what was happening is that people were becoming Christians, and they were like, okay, you've become a Christian, but you also need to do what the Old Testament says. You're a man, you just became a Christian. You need to get circumcised. And I'm not talking about the spiritual kind. Not a big fan of that one, most of the guys said, I'm sure. You need to follow the dietary laws. You can't eat, certain things. And you've got to follow the ceremonial laws. And so what this all boils down to is Jesus plus something else. It's not Jesus alone. Christians must do certain things is what they were teaching. And let me just say, this happens today. We have churches that say, yep, become a Christian, and then you must do this, that, and the other thing in order to be a Christian, in order to be accepted by God. So that's legalism. Now here's another one, and it's the secret spiritual teaching. It was going on at this time. It's called Gnostic thinking. Gnostic means knowledge. So there were some people that they claimed to have secret knowledge. Knowledge that no one else had. Okay? They had this special teaching, and it grew to a terrible heresy in the second century called Gnosticism. Okay? But basically, let me just give you some of the thoughts here. The teaching was that Jesus was only one of many intermediaries between us and God. He's just one. One possibility. you know, and there were other angels that could be worshipped and could be that mediator between us and God. And so another thing that was taught, because it came from the thought from Plato, Platonic thought, is that anything physical, like anything material, is less than. It's there's a one-off with it. It's not pure. It's not as good as spiritual things. And so therefore, the Bible says that Jesus came in the flesh. He came in bodily form, as Paul argues in this letter. They were like, no, he was not a bodily form, because that would mean that he is infected with materialism. And so these are some of the teachings that were happening there. Now, in essence, what was going on is, you know, legalism, Gnostic teaching was presenting that Jesus Christ in himself is not sufficient. He's not unique. He's not the answer to our problems. He's just one of many potential answers. Kind of sounds like something we've heard today, in this day, doesn't it? So we might be like, what was wrong with those people? What was wrong with them? How did they miss this? It's so obvious on these points. But let me just say, there's harmful teaching today. So I'm going to take just a moment and point out a couple from our day that actually, in many ways, link to the problems back in ancient Colossae. The first one is this, that there are Christians in our day who claim to be Christians, okay, that they teach that Jesus is not God the Son, that Jesus was not the creator. He's a created being, okay? Actually, the Jehovah's Witnesses believe this, that Jesus Christ is a God, not God. And so there's one today that links back all the way back to Gnostic teaching, okay? And then there's some people who claim to be Christians today that say this, that we're all gods, okay? You're a God, I'm a God, and actually God, the one that we call God, he was actually just like us, like a few millennia ago. He had to go through the ranks like we have to go through the ranks, and then we can be like God. We can actually have our own universe. We can have our own place to grow into. So we have to understand that that teaching, that understanding, that false teaching, that heresy, it is out there in our world, and we need to be aware of it. Here's another one. It's called the prosperity gospel. If you ever heard of it, raise your hand. Your prosperity gospel. Okay, and what it basically stands for is that God rewards increases in faith with increases in health and wealth. Joel Osteen basically teaches this, okay? That if you put your faith towards God, he will bless you. You just need to name it and claim it, and you will have financial blessing. But is that really what the Bible teaches? Why do people suffer? Are they not good Christians? And really the whole idea of prosperity gospel is it's a consumerism. It's a type of consumerism. Well, remember, the consumer is always right. Have you ever heard that? Raise your hand if you ever heard that before. The consumer is always right. Yeah. Well, we know that's not true. Consumer is not always right. But in this way of thinking, the consumer is always right. And God is here to make us happy. And that is not what we find in Scripture. We're here to glorify God. He's not here to make us happy. Okay, so that's one. Here's another one. Just a couple quick more. Christian nationalism. You ever heard of that before? Christian nationalism. It's seeping into our churches. In the notes, if you want the notes, please text Genesis notes and you'll get everything you ever wanted with this. But there's several articles and books to look at and think about if you're interested in these topics. Christian nationalism. Basically, this is what it boils down to. We've got to fight the culture wars. We've got to fight the culture. And it's interesting that the belief is there are people opposing us and we have to fight them. We must defeat them. Now, here's the interesting thing is that you could be on either side of that token. I mean, you could be, and there are Christians that follow Bernie Sanders and his political way of thinking. They're very much on the left side of the equation. And then there are others that follow, you know, our former president, Donald Trump, and what his belief system is. And it's like, we've got to defeat the other side. Or the world as we know it is over. You heard that before? Back in the last presidential election, I heard something that I've heard many times since 1992 when I first started paying attention. It's like, this is the most critical election in our nation's history. How many times have we heard that? How many times do we does that come into our mind here? And what it is, it's that we're striving for a kingdom. We're striving for a kingdom here on earth without Christ. Now, I'm not saying don't get involved politically. I think you should. I think you should vote. I think you should understand the issues. It's not about that. It's what's ultimate. What's ultimate? Is it destroying other people, destroying the other side? Or is it letting Christ rule in you? All right. Pragmatism over faithfulness. Here's another one. This is the last one. I promise. This is interesting stuff for me to look at. Pragmatism. You might be like, what's pragmatism? Pragmatism says whatever works, that's what we do. Whatever works, that's what we do. Anybody watch Chicago PD? Raise your hand. You ever seen that show before? Nobody watches it. Oh, my goodness. Hank Voigt is on this show. He's a sergeant, and he's a pragmatist. It's like basically if they have a criminal that they arrest and they don't have evidence or whatever, takes them downstairs into the caged area, and he beats the guy or persuades him to confess or share what the evidence is. So see, the end justifies the means. This is, we're going to beat you to get the end that we want. This happens in the church. This is how it happens in the church. It's like, we've got to compromise what we believe, what the Bible says, so that people will like us. Many churches are chasing, and I know this from my own experience, my own personal experience, my own personal thinking over the years at times. We're chasing the American dream that the church needs to be growing, and if it's not growing, then something's wrong with us. And so we can compromise what we teach. But God calls us to faithfulness. He calls us to be people of character. He calls us to be, you know, you look at the characteristics of what it takes to be an elder, a deacon, a pastor in the church. And it's nothing, there's nothing in, you know, 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus chapter 1, some of those passages. There's nothing in there about you can grow something big. You could be like a CEO. It's all about character stuff. One woman man, not addicted to much wine, irreproachable, handles his family well. That's what it's about. So watch out. That's what Paul's saying. Watch out, this stuff. It will get on your shoes and it will mess you up. Okay? Watch out for empty deception. Watch out for those things. They promise so much, but they deliver nothing. And watch out for this. Don't elevate something over God. Don't elevate something over who the Lord is. So let's look at this second instruction. The first one was, look out, look out, be aware, you know. The second one is this, look for what? Look for reality in Christ. Look for reality in Christ. Here's the verse, it's 17, we didn't read this one yet, but let me read it. He says here, these are a shadow. He's actually talking about, in this part, he's talking about these laws from the Old Testament. He's saying they're a shadow. That's what he's specifically talking about here. They're a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Christ is our reality. That's what we need to do. We need to know Christ more. How can you, let me ask you a question. How can you discern if a $100 bill is real and not counterfeit? How do you do that? How do you go, what allows you to be able to discern that? That's right. Wrong place. Brenda gave me a $100 bill. She said, don't spend it all in one place. Okay? Oh, upside down Benny. Benny Frank, this is a real one, as far as I know. Okay? And so, you got to study the real one. Okay? It's all about the real one. It's all about familiarizing yourself with the real thing. You know the old song, ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. It's very true about $100 bills, right? And, you know, one of the things that they say about knowing a $100 bill is the color-shifting ink. You can see it down there in the lower right-hand corner. And so you can just pick it up, and because you know what is the real one. You don't have to know every variant teaching out there, but you know what is true about Christ. Okay? No, I'm not giving this away today. There's no drawing today. So what do we have to do to get to that? We got to read. We have to study. We have to discover. You gotta put your thinking caps on. Where does that come from? Well, Matthew 22, 37. Anybody know what that is? Matthew 22, 37. It's the great commandment. What's the great commandment? Somebody help me. Love somebody. Love the Lord. Love the Lord with all your heart. Love the Lord with all your soul. And what's the last one? Your melon. Love the Lord with all your mind. Love the Lord with all your mind. We got to put our thinking caps on. We got to read the fine print. We got to get into it. That's what All In is about. Is like not just being passive, not like, oh yeah, I'll just ask Pastor Scott or Pastor Johnny or Norm, you know what? I don't want to think about this. You know, I'm not going to do any of my own personal study. No, we need to love God with our minds. We need to think rightly about God. Now, some of you know I'm married to Brenda. And I just want to tell you this. It really helps my marriage when I think rightly about Brenda. It really does. When I know what's important to her, when I know how she handles situations, it's really helpful if I become a student of Brenda. It just helps my marriage. I mean, do I have a witness here today? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, to know how she's going to handle something really helps our relationship. And in the same way, we need to know. We need to know the Lord. We need to know what His Word says. We need to take the time to understand. We need to let the teaching of Christ and the instruction take priority over any other teaching, over any other teaching that even cultural teaching, even cultural sensitivities that begin to push in to our belief system. Over in Romans 12:2, there's a great verse for this. It says this, Romans chapter 2, verse 12, verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the patterns in this world. No, be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We need to renew our mind. We need to renew our mind with Scripture. We need to renew our mind with teachings about who Christ is and what the gospel is. And then it says, then you will be able to test and approve of what is good, God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do you see that? We've got to become students because it'll help us. It'll help us to beware. So look out. Look out for the dog dew, right? And look for, like you're, life loses the diamond, you know, you're going to look for it. It's something precious. It's in the same way. We're going to look for something precious. So a couple of years ago, I was headed down to Grand Rapids. I was on US 131, headed down there. And I had to get off at 54th Street. Does anybody know where 54th Street is? It's right past the S-curves. No, I was not going to Chick-fil-A for lunch, okay? Some of you know there's a Chick-fil-A there, and we all like Chick-fil-A in Michigan, right? And I got off the exit ramp. I came up because it goes up like this, and then here's the road. And it was a red light, so I sat there about a minute. It was taking a while. And then all of a sudden, you know, it turned green, and something inside of me said, look before you go. I don't know what it was. Look before you go. So I looked to my left, because that's the way I was going to turn, and a semi, 18-wheeler, just flew through there. Going about, I presume, about 60. I don't know. I could be adding speed to it. But it was fast. And I knew immediately, had I pulled out, I would have been a July bug on your windshield. There's no question about it. I wouldn't be here today. I just know that. That's how we have to look at this. It's that serious. When you're teaching your kids how to drive, it's like, make sure you look. You don't just go out, even though it's green. You take a peek. You make sure it's okay, right? And then you go out. In the same way, this is so important, my friends. You got to understand, what does the Bible teach about Christ? What does it teach about the gospel? You got to become rock solid in that so that you can see the train wrecks that are there. We got some next steps for you today. So I got two of them for you. The first one is this: trace back where your beliefs come from. Number one, trace back where your beliefs come from. Some of you are here, you might not be a Christian quite yet, or maybe you're a young Christian. You've got some beliefs, and you kind of get a sense that they might be different here at church or different than what the Bible says. And number one, I just want to say, I'm so glad you're here. Keep coming. This is not in any way to say, get out of here at all. It's like, keep thinking through this. Keep trying to figure this out. I'm going to give you one quick example. The Christian sexual ethic basically says this, that we do not have any kind of sexual relations outside of the context of marriage, the covenant of marriage. And so you may know that, you've heard that, and you're like, no, that doesn't work for me, or I don't believe that. So here's what I want you to do, and there may be other beliefs like that. That's just one example. I want to invite you to take some time in the next bit of time, trace that back. Where does that come from? Where does that belief come from in your life? What's the foundation of it? Trace it back. And let me know. I mean, message me, and I'd love to talk with you about if you have an issue like that that you're trying to wrestle with. Okay? All right, here's the other one. This is the second next step. I want to encourage you to take one of these, okay, today. Decide to familiarize yourself with the Bible and Christ. Decide. I'm going to do this. I've been kind of, not applying myself to this. I got to get into this. I got to protect my faith and understand, and I need to protect my family so they don't get kidnapped by error, right? And so I've got some options for you. Let's go to the next slide. It's go deeper with the Lord options. Okay, these are on Right Now Media. Okay, all of these things, these opportunities here, if you text Genesis, we will send you the link. If you don't have Right Now Media, it's something free that we have. It's like Netflix for Christians sort of thing. We will set you up so you have a free account. Incredible teaching on here. So let's say you're a youth. Francis Chan does this one. It's on doctrine. Doctrine is biblical teaching. And it's more geared for youth. Maybe you're an older person and you'd like to see some youthfulness. Go for it. It's not just for youth, but, doctrine for youth. So text us that and we'll send you the link. You can watch it. You can work through it. I'll think through it. Here's one on how to read the Bible. You may be like, I don't know how to read the Bible. That's a beginning place. Send it to us. And here's one that's on, it's called Catechism, which is basically just brief teachings on doctrine, on teaching from the Bible. And this one is put out, it's called New City Catechism. Actually, Jeremy Monti did it with his family. He said it's excellent. It's on video, and there's 8 hours of it. You don't have to sit there and watch all 8 hours. You can go through and find specific questions and issues that you're wanting to know about. So it gives short answers about who Christ is, short answers about God, the Bible, and many other topics. So I want to encourage you. So would you please stand up? I'm going to say a prayer. We're going to sing one last song before we go out, but please stand. I just want to encourage you to do something about this. Don't just stand there. Become an informed buyer. Become an informed person, a follower of Christ. Know Him not only in your heart. Know Him not only in your soul, but know Him in your mind. Dear Lord, just be with us, God, as we aspire to know You more so that we can be helpful to ourselves, to our family, to those that we're around. And Lord, I think of those that we have contact with in the community, at work. There's so many things going on in our community right now with the pains of different sufferings, Lord. And Lord, just raise us up as a church that we will have something to give those around us, Lord, that is helpful and true and will grow up incredible fruit in Your name. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.